Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right. Good morning again. Yeah, I think we should have Brandon and the kids and the birds every week do announcements. Pretty awesome. Let's give it up for the Pierman family and their announcements. Thank you. Okay. So, hey, our kids are in here. Welcome, kids. And there is going to be a Pastor Brandon kids sermon. It's going to happen towards the end of this message, though, instead of the beginning. And before I jump into the message, we have an awesome building for more update. I hear this fan on. I got to turn this off. That's going to drive me crazy. Well, I turned it higher. That's off. Building for more update. You're like, hey, didn't we just have a building for more update? Yes, we did. But there have been developments. So let me give you, these are a few slides that I showed you like a couple weeks ago when we did an update. Do we have that? Okay, it's up there. So we purchased 5.6 acres for $2,150,000. We paid up until now $1,255,000, which means we owe $895,000 on the land. And so we launched our Building for More campaign this past March with the goal of raising $1.6 million over the next 2 years. And that goal was really set before we bought the additional acre and a half for $500,000. So our total pledges for the next 2 years came in at $850,000. And you might recall, we've shared that there was a pledge that was made for $500,000 that was going to come in over the course of 2026 through 2030, which we were incredibly grateful for, knowing, you know, looking ahead, that's going to be incredibly, incredibly helpful. Well, this week, I was handed an envelope by a Foundry couple who wished to remain anonymous, and the envelope contained a profound letter and a profoundly large check. So I'd like to read you the letter first. It's addressed to the church family. Foundry's teaching and example led by our church family have taught us that if we're fully invested in God and put Him first in everything we do, it will change the trajectory of our life in significant ways. The Lord has used Foundry to help us become more mature and authentic in our faith journey. He now speaks to us in ways that challenge us and require full obedience and trust in Him. In return, He is using us in ways we never dreamed we would or could be used. Most recently, the Lord has directed us to go beyond our financial comfort zone, step out in faith, and fund our financial pledge to the church in full now. We'd be lying to say we aren't a bit apprehensive. Nonetheless, we trust He will look after us one way or another. The intimacy of being in the Spirit through abiding in Him in all things makes your life significant. It will define who you are in this life and pay significant dividends in the next. We encourage you to step into your faith, test it, go beyond what is comfortable, invest in your eternal rewards, and truly trust in Christ. We love you, and we thank you for all you've done to teach and love us well. We are blessed to call Foundry Church our home. And with that letter, there was a $500,000 check to Foundry. So, well, let's just thank the Lord and thank that couple. So that $500,000 that was pledged for 2026 has been given now, and so that is a massive help to us to get our land paid off, so that we can now every dollar will go towards an actual building, because that is the goal, not just have land over there, but to have a building where we meet and where we do ministry and where we tell kids about the love of Jesus. And so between that $500,000 and the $375,000 that's come in since we started our Building for More campaign, by the way, $25,000 of which came in just today, I was informed. So the Lord is at work. That means we're gonna make a payment this week of $875,000, and we'll just owe 20 left on the land. Man. So that's just a God thing. And you know, our building is probably going to cost us about $5 million. We had estimated $4.5 million. And as always happens, the contractors are like, yeah, that's going to cost you $5 million at least. But so there's a lot of money left for us to raise. You know, we're hoping that we can raise another million to $1.5 million and have about a $3.5 million loan. Maybe we could. That's going to be a stretch for us, but we're growing. And in terms of making a payment, all depends on what interest rates do. But we're just 8 months into this campaign, and so. We're in a great, great position, you guys. And it's just an awesome season in the life of our church. We're in a great position, but it's still going to require, continued sacrificial giving. And you know what? You don't have to give $500,000 for it to be significant for you. God's calling all of us to give sacrificially what would be sacrificial to us. So I'd like to reread a portion of that quote, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll jump into the message. But that letter that was written, it said this: the Lord has directed us to go beyond our financial comfort zone, to step out in faith. And we encourage you to step into your faith, to test it, to go beyond what is comfortable, invest in your eternal rewards, and truly trust in Christ. What a great example for all of us. So with that, let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message. Lord, thank you for what you're doing at Foundry. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift, Lord, that was given. Thank you for the givers and their heart and their love for you, Jesus, and their love for Foundry Church. And thank you for their example, Lord, of not just giving what is safe to give and giving what is comfortable to give, but literally stepping out on faith and giving when we really don't know the future at all and what income may or may not be there. So thank you for that example, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to stir the hearts of your people here at Foundry to this kind of sacrificial, faith-inspired giving, Lord. And Lord, may it all be for your glory and the furthering of your kingdom here in Castle Pines and Douglas County and around the world, Lord, as we envision a building that will be used for the sake of the gospel. And so thank you, Lord, for the season of life of Foundry. Thank you for that land. Thank you for the provision. And thank you for all that is yet to come. May you just receive the glory and the honor again and again and again. Because it's all about you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are, as was announced by our readers, they read better than I do. It's amazing. Good job, girls. So as they announced, this is week two of our Advent series, and it's Bethlehem's Candle, and that's connected to peace. Now, why would it be called, and this is based on tradition, right? This isn't, the Bible doesn't line out for us the themes for each week of Advent. But over the course of church history, certain themes have emerged, and I think these are great traditions. I don't know if you grew up in a church maybe that celebrated Advent. I did not. So I really enjoy kind of leaning into some of these almost like liturgical things, but it brings about a tradition. And, you know, some traditions are really, really good. Some are really bad and should be done away with. Some traditions around the holidays are really, really good. It builds remembrance, and it builds a sense of anticipation and expectation. So week two is Bethlehem's Candle. And why the connection with peace? Well, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as was read, as was prophesied. But in the fields outside of Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching their sheep at night, as we read in Luke chapter 2. And an angel appeared in the skies, in the heavens above, and proclaimed to them that there was a Messiah who was born, a Savior who was born. And it says in Luke 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven. All the angels joined in, the sky filled with angels, and they were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. At the very announcement of the birth of Jesus, what the angels are proclaiming is peace. Now, they also proclaim joy, but this morning we're focusing on peace. And of course, this is what Isaiah prophesied in the very well-known passage in Isaiah chapter 9. We read it last week. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So it's not just that Jesus will bring peace. It's like he's the embodiment of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And, you know, when Jesus was leaving, one of his most famous statements is when he's about to depart and he's telling the disciples in no uncertain terms, he's going to go to the cross, he's going to die, and he's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again, and he's going to ascend into heaven, and he's going to leave, and he's telling them, I've got to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. And in that passage in John 14, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, it was very important that Jesus said that to them, because he's letting them know he's going to be leaving. And his disciples were gripped with fear and concern and anxiety about the future. And he's like, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to give you peace, my peace I'm going to give you. And so I want to answer the question this morning, well, what kind of peace is it that Jesus gives? What is the peace that he offers, and what does it look like in our lives? And there's three main things kind of want to share. So the peace that Jesus offers us is, first of all, peace with God. It's peace with God. We'll talk in a second about the peace that is from God or the peace of God, but before you can have peace in your life, we all have to be at peace with God. And you might say, well, who's at war with him? Who's his enemy? Well, that's a good question. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the only person that has peace with God are those who've been justified or declared right with God. It's justified as just as if I'd never sinned. God declares us to be righteous even though we're not. That's the gift of salvation. And when a person has been justified by faith, then they're now at peace with God. And Paul, a little bit further down in verse 8, says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So Paul is helping us to understand that outside of a relationship with Christ, I'm actually God's enemy. And I'm going to be under God's wrath. But when I put my faith in Jesus and I'm made right with God, I'm no longer at odds with him. I'm no longer his enemy. I've actually been made a child of God. And so a lot of people try to have peace in their life through a lot of different means. Like they try to you know, manage their schedule so they're not burning the candle at both ends. And that's kind of smart. You know, they create some margin in your life. And you need to find times where you can meditate and just be quiet. Get out in nature. Maybe go camping. Maybe decrease the blue light from your screen. And so before you go to bed, don't be reading on your phone or your laptop or your tablet, because that blue light keeps you. So there's all kinds of techniques about like how to manage your life so that you can have more peace and less stress. And a lot of those are good, but they're not foundational. The foundational thing in our lives that brings about anxiety and angst and unease and a churning stomach and a general lack of peace is being at odds with God, not being right with God, not having a right relationship to Him. And so it doesn't matter what you do, if that's not dealt with, then you're always going to be searching, and there's going to be a missing piece in your life that is like, I'm not sure what's missing, but something's missing. I don't have peace. And the missing peace is going to be Jesus. And so, and the reason this is because way back in the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you do, you'll surely die. And we understand that when they ate of the fruit, they died a spiritual death that led to a physical death. But that spiritual death means my relationship with God is broken. And if you remember the story in the garden, Adam and Eve hid from God when He came looking for them. Why? Because the relationship with God was broken. God is a holy God, and He can't have a relationship with people that have rebelled against Him. And so Jesus came, and that's why the angels, when they announced peace on earth, goodwill to men, on whom His favor rests. That's like the way that you have God's favor is you are justified, and therefore you have His peace. And so if you're here this morning, and man, you've been like searching for peace, know that this is the foundation a peace in your life. It is having a right relationship with God. I remember when I was in high school, and I had had what I think was probably a salvation experience as a boy, but I had been living wildly in high school and partying and not at all living like I was a follower of Jesus. And God got a hold of me at church camp, and I surrendered my life to Him. And I remember when I called my dad on the phone, for some reason, His words have always stuck in my head. He goes, Tim, there's nothing quite like being right with your Creator. Like being in a right relationship with your Creator. He created you for relationship. And that relationship has been broken. And so the only way to have peace in our life is to have that restored. And that's why Jesus came. He died for our sins so that payment might be made, so that we might be in a right relationship with God. And so His favor, God's favor, this was the announcement, peace on earth to whom His favor rests. Well, who are God's favorites? Those who have put their faith in Him and been justified. So the peace it offers, that Jesus offers, and many of you have experienced this, peace with God, you've been saved. Now, is it possible to have peace with God and still not have the peace of God? Because that's the second one. That's the second area of peace that God offers us through Jesus, and that is He offers us His peace. So as a believer, there have been many periods of my life where I've not been at peace. I've had an anxious stomach. I've just felt off, like something's wrong, what's going on, you know, and probably every one of us in here have had seasons like this. And there's what you may be in a season right now. You're a believer, but you're under financial pressure. It's the holidays. It means you're going to be around family. Talk about a lack of peace. Maybe those family relationships bring anxiety and stress. And maybe just the whole holiday season, you're like, yeah, I just like to be on the other side of it because it is not peaceful. Well, Jesus came that we might have peace, the peace of God, no matter what the season is and no matter what the circumstances are. Let's read a few verses. The first one that we mentioned, John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. How does the world get peace? Well, it gives peaceful circumstances. Turn the lights down, get some Kenny G saxophone on. Sean's gonna be playing. You guys know that Sean is a saxophone player extraordinaire, and that will be a part of our Christmas service. Yes, we put it in his contract when we hired him. We're like, the sax will be played at Christmas. So, looking forward to that. But, you know, it's like, okay, create peaceful circumstances and then you'll be at peace. But all of that is external. So when Jesus says, I'm offering you peace, not like the world gives, it means I'm going to offer you peace that is internal. It is an internal peace so that you can have peace no matter what's going on externally. And so the peace of God is number one. Let me give you three things under this. It is unlike the world in that it is not dependent upon peaceful circumstances. Philippians 4:7, Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, what does he mean that it transcends all understanding? Well, it means that you can be in a set of circumstances where the world would be like, there's no way that you can have peace. That doesn't make any sense. But God's peace transcends our ability to understand based on circumstances, and it is a peace that he gives us no matter what's going on. Jennifer showed me a video last night. I think it was actually posted by Samaritan's Purse, but it was a young man who has cancer, and he was sharing how that people are asking him, how can you have such peace when you have cancer? And I think it's like super serious cancer. How can you have such peace? And he goes, you know, he goes, I thought of an illustration that helps me explain it to people. He goes, imagine your favorite football team is playing, but you're unable to watch the game live. And so you DVR the game so that you can watch it later. But you don't mind having it spoiled, and you find out that your team won an amazing game. Your team won. You know the outcome of the game. But still, it's your favorite team, and so you wanna watch the game. So you go home and you pop your popcorn, and you've got all you're enjoying the game, and the game is going horribly for your team. In fact, at halftime, they're down like 3 or 4 touchdowns, and the team is playing horribly. But you know the outcome of the game. So it's no problem. You're not sweating it. You're actually enjoying knowing, how is this going to work out? Because I know they win, but they're playing horribly. I can't imagine how they're going to pull this out. And so it's actually enjoyable because you know the outcome. And here's what the young man said. He goes, I already know I win. Like, in the end, I win. If cancer takes my life, I'm just going to heaven to be with the Lord, to be in heaven. I mean, I know the end of the story. I win. I'm not going to wring my hands at halftime because everything's going poorly, because God has already revealed to me in his word what the future for believers in Jesus, what our future is. I was like, man, that is a great analogy. And that's exactly what peace is about. How can you have peace in the middle of turmoil? Well, you know what? You know the end of the story ultimately. And this life, we're just passing through, but we know the end of the story. And we know that God's going to set all things right, and so I can be at peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is recognizing the presence of God in the conflict. Number two, the peace of God is experienced through thankful prayers. This is really helpful. If you're here and you're like, yeah, I know the end of the story, but I still have anxiety, I want to encourage you to do what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. Look at this. It's like a recipe for peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And so there it is. How do you have the peace of God, which transcends? Well, you present your prayers and your petitions to God, but you do it with a thankful heart. Because if you don't pray with a thankful heart, we become ungrateful, and we're only sort of looking at the glass half full, and we don't see the many things that God has done. And when we pray with thanksgiving, it actually bolsters our faith as we pray to know that we're praying to a good God who loves us and cares about our life. And so maybe this week, if you're anxious, if you have anxiety in your life, I want to encourage you to write down the things that are bothering you. Finances, marriage, relationships, my kids, my work, whatever it is, my health. Write it down. And then very consciously say, God, this thing has been making me anxious, but I know that you came to give me peace. And so right now, I'm prayerfully and thankfully giving this to you. I ask you to give me peace, even regardless of this thing. And I give this to you, and be very conscious. Jesus didn't come just to give peace, you know, on Christmas Sundays where there's kids reading scripture verses and, oh, isn't everything great? No, Jesus entered a sin-sick world and was born in an animal stable with animal poop everywhere. He was born into a very messed up world. And so at Christmas, we don't pretend like everything is so great. It's not so great. That's why he came. But because he came, I can have peace even though it's not okay and it's not so great. Number three, peace is found in focusing our thoughts on Christ. And so Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Look at this. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So we need the Holy Spirit to govern our thinking. And what we learn is that peace is a person, the Prince of Peace, and that, of course, is Jesus. And Isaiah, looking in some sense forward towards Jesus, but even in Isaiah's time, this verse was true. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The person whose mind is on the Spirit and whose mind is on Christ is a person who's just trusting God. And so therefore we have the peace of God. So Jesus came to offer us peace with God, and he came to offer us the peace of God. And number three is that both of these can be summed up in a word, and it is the word shalom. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. This is the Jewish greeting even today. And of course, in Hebrew, it means peace. But it has the idea of completeness. That's what the word shalom. Shalom is like everything is right. It's been set right. All the pieces are together. And I believe that this is what Simeon felt. I read this last week when Simeon held baby Jesus in his arms when he was being dedicated at the temple. It says Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, you have promised. As you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What was Simeon saying? He's like, now things are, this is completion. Now that's Christ's first coming, but he's like, now there's peace. I can be dismissed in peace because I've seen what God promised I would see, and that is the Messiah. And when we can sort of gaze into the face of Jesus and know that he is the one that makes our life whole, he's the one that makes me complete, then it's like, I don't need anything else to have peace. He completes me. Your spouse doesn't complete you, even though that's a nice thing to say. They don't. Neither do your kids. And your job doesn't complete you. And your bank account doesn't complete you. The only thing that completes you is a relationship with Jesus where he makes us whole. And now with that, we're going to invite Pastor Brandon up because he's going to continue this thought with the kids' sermon. And it's really a kid/adult sermon because it's going to be a very helpful picture for all of us. You want me to roll this out of your way, Brandon? Or do you want it?
That's good. Right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me? Oh, yeah. There we go. Hey, I got a prop up here. Kids, in just a minute, you're going to have the opportunity to come up on stage and earn one of these candy canes filled with chocolate. So get ready for that, but not quite yet. And everyone else, all the adults, you're also going to join and participate in this. So we are going to talk about shalom and how we really want peace. But so often in life, we kind of don't find peace. We kind of find pieces, sort of like an incomplete jigsaw puzzle, which we have right up here. And as Pastor Tim says, shalom, peace, is all about everything being in its right place, a completeness. And when we look at our world, so often it looks quite a bit more like this, right? We have a couple of things that seem to be in the right place, but overall, what's going on? I don't understand it. And I want to tell you a story of a time at the Pierman household where we had the least peace that we've had almost ever. It probably is ever. So this was a couple of years ago. My youngest son, Samuel, who had just turned 3 at the time, and by the way, Samuel's up in the preschool having a great time, so keep that in mind as I tell this story. Here's what happened to old Sammy. So I had went off to do some church work, and my wife and my brother-in-law and the rest of the kids, they were going to go and just have a movie night, and they were going to go down into the basement. And our stairs down to the basement are these wooden stairs, okay? And so, you know, we don't really think anything of it. And so everyone was going down there getting ready, and the dogs, there was 2 dogs at the house at the time, and they were all excited, and the doorbell rang, and the dogs started running around. And here's what happened to Sam. He was going down the stairs. He got bumped by one of the dogs and fell and hit his face directly on the stairs and rolled all the way down and split his tongue in half, bit all the way through it. I have a horrifying picture that I won't show you, but I will show you if you ask me later. But what happened to poor Sam is he was whole, at least his tongue, and then it wasn't. Blood everywhere, and I got a text while I was at this church event like, you need to come home now. Here's this horrifying picture to ruin your night. And so I quickly was like, all right, guys, I got to go. And so Hannah is rushing Sam to the emergency room, and of course, he was in a panic for a while. Tongue completely split. He couldn't really talk. He kind of had like this, you know, full mouth. And Hannah tells the story as they're going to the emergency room. About halfway there, he finally calms down and says,
I'm all better now.
He was not all better now. He was still in, you know, in pieces, right? So we take him to the emergency room, and they had to put him into surgery. And here's a sad picture. You want to show the picture of Sam on that? Oh, there's the cute version. So that's what he normally looks like. That's what he looked like that night. And they had to stitch the top of his tongue kind of in the middle of the tongue and then on the bottom. And, you know, in the end, we weren't at the emergency room all that long, but he was in pieces, right? His tongue was messed up, and he got stitched up, and he found that wholeness. And it's amazing how quick tongues heal, actually. And you know, he's all better. He did get all better, but it wasn't just by saying I'm all better. Something had to be fixed. So maybe we can ask ourselves, kind of like poor Sam's tongue, why are we not at peace? What's going on with us? We've got parts of our lives that are broken. We have a broken relationship with God. It's not right. It's broken, and we can't just say that, oh, well, it's actually fine. No, it's broken. We have a broken world where there's war and conflict and things that are going on, conflict with other family members, right? And there's also conflict within ourselves where we don't have the fruits of the Spirit that we ought to have. And so we are not at peace. We aren't whole. And ultimately, peace is this kind of wholeness. And so that leads us to our picture here where we feel so often incomplete, like this picture. And maybe there's a bit of confusion in our lives too, where we look at our lives and we're like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. What's with this life of mine and these missing things, these hurt things? And maybe as we're talking about peace, that's where the anxiety comes from, all of this blank space here. Israel felt the incompleteness too when they were wondering, when's this promised Messiah going to come? Is it ever going to come, God? Isaiah 9 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And the angels appeared, and we know the story. In Bethlehem they came, and they announced this to some shepherds in a song, and they started singing. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And so we're going to complete this puzzle. So I have an assignment. So a different assignment for adults and the children in this room. There are hidden puzzle pieces underneath the chairs in the room. So here's what we got to do. Adults, there's one on every single row. So I want you to look under your chair and the chairs near. And when you find a puzzle piece, I want you to hold it up. Elementary students, here's your job. If you want to come up on stage and earn one of these, you got to get that puzzle piece, grab it from an adult, and then come all the way up on stage with me, and we're going to assemble it. So just grab one and immediately come up. They're kind of Velcroed to the bottom. They're big puzzle pieces. You should be able to find them. Great. Hey, come on up. You guys step up here. You should see your number and plug it in right to the right place. All right, we're going to start assembling this puzzle real quick. 24. The corner there. Look at this. They know exactly where they're going. You guys got it? All right, and stay up here once we get this, guys. You guys ready here? I'm going to back this up so there's more room for everyone. Oh, man, so good. Oh, that's 21. Yeah, here. Turn it around. Flip it over. Oh. Oh, no, this is 12. It's over here, guy. All right, you guys are doing good. We're almost there. Have we found them all? There's 22 pieces. Do we got it? Nice. 16. All right, can you guys put this on 16? We numbered these so it would go really fast, guys. Great. And while this is assembling, let's go ahead, and I'm going to talk about this picture. I'll show it to you in a minute. But this picture that they're assembling very quickly up here is actually an amazing picture called Nativity, by an artist that did engravings in a lot of Bibles in the 19th century, and he also did the Divine Comedy, if you ever read those versions. And here's a picture up on the screen, Nativity right there. Okay, looks like we have almost all of them. I'm missing two pieces. We need, missing three, uh-oh. Okay, do we get them all? Has anyone else got them? Oh, here we are. Tim's got one. All right, perfect. That's complete. All right. Guys, all right, will you guys come behind here? Let's show everybody what we assembled here. All right, let's put it forward here. So we just assembled this. We're going to put it right there so everyone can see. There we have it, the Nativity. Okay, so you're going to be up on stage just a couple more minutes, and then when I dismiss, grab one of those as you go back to your seats. But here's the point of all of this. Where do we find this shalom, this peace? We find it by resting in God's promises. We feel confused sometimes. And sometimes in our life, we have missing pieces, and we have to keep in mind that God is going to complete this puzzle. Just like the story of the football fan who knew his team was going to win, we will see those missing pieces, those fourth downs that don't get converted, right, in a football game, but we know we'll win in the end because of Jesus. We need to also order our lives around God's command. Sometimes, if you're not good at puzzles, maybe you try to force a piece that doesn't actually fit and you break it. God gave us commandments so that we don't make that mistake. He's going to fix it if we follow his commandments and directions. And finally, and most importantly, we need to accept Jesus' offer of peace with what he did on the cross. And so I'm going to pray for us. And then when I say amen, you guys can all go off the stage, grab yourself one canister of candy there, and go get back in your seat. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your peace. Thank you that you sent Jesus so that everyone, kid and adult alike, can find this wholeness. And we confess that so often we feel incomplete. We look at the picture and we feel anxious and confused. But would you help us, Holy Spirit, to trust that you see the whole picture? We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Christmas. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody.
Hey, kids, remember, you have to tithe to Pastor Tim, so I'll need 10% of all that candy. Man, awesome. Awesome job, kids, and awesome job, Brandon. Why don't we pray? pray. Would you bow with me? And let's just have a time of response, you know. The truth of a message is true whether we believe it or not, or whether we act on it or not. But the only way that it impacts us is if we do believe it and if we do act on it. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, man, I don't think I have peace with God. I feel like my sin has separated me from God all my life. And I'm tired of living that way. I don't want to have a broken relationship with God. You don't have to. And you can walk out of here whole, made whole by Jesus. And the way that happens is by choosing to place your faith in Him this morning. It's by believing that He came, that He died, that He rose again, that He's the very Son of God. And it's by trusting Him with your very life. And it's by relying on Him to save you and not your own good works, not your own deeds, nothing that you could ever do, but only the gift of His grace. And so if you're here this morning and you would like that peace, then I invite you literally right now just to invite Jesus into your life. Put that puzzle together with Christ Jesus at the very center. And it's a prayer that we pray very simply. It's just, Jesus, I confess my sin to You. And I believe in You, Jesus. I believe that You're the Savior of the world, and I ask You to save me. I ask You to come into my life and to make me a brand new person and forgive me of my sins and make me whole. I desire to have peace with You, God. And I believe it's only through Jesus. So right now, I surrender my life to You. The Bible says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if that's you this morning, then welcome to God's family. Welcome into the family of those who have mended relationships with God. Lord, for those of us here who have made that decision and yet struggle somehow to live with the peace that You offer, Lord, this morning I pray that there would be a shift in our mindset. And that we would so focus on You and on Your promises and so trust You that we would have peace regardless of the circumstances. And maybe this morning the Lord's bringing something to mind that you've just been anxious about. Maybe literally right now. Don't wait for this week. Just right now say, Jesus, I give that to You. And in exchange, I receive Your peace. I will rest in the peace that You offer. Thank You, Lord, that in a crazy world, we can have the very peace of God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially or serve with us or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.